Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. For some people, the desire to have a paranormal ghostly experience persists until they have one. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802. Call in, share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of our bonus content, more than 300 bonus episodes waiting for you to binge away on. You get advanced episodes of the show. You get our ebook. You get our audiobook. You get video content and a whole lot of other extras when you support our show and become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We would absolutely love to have your support to help keep this show on the air. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again. Hi. I should probably turn your microphone on. There we go. Hi.
You always mute me.
I do. It's kind of a thing.
Probably because I was still laughing about last episode.
Lady Elaine.
Oh, you're terrible with lyrics sometimes. For somebody that worked in radio, you have no idea what some of the lyrics are. Well,
the worst, I mean, the lyrics don't show up on a screen when you work at a radio station. And we're like in the early late 90s when the internet, you know, was kind of everybody's starting to get it. And you could start to look up lyrics online. That was kind of a big deal.
Well, yeah.
And it was like this whole world of words that we never knew were in our songs we were discovering for the first time.
But then after you read it and you know it's there, then you can hear it.
Ruins the song.
It doesn't ruin the song, but then you can hear it. But until then, it's whatever goes, whatever fits.
Yeah. The biggest one was, like, I remember when I was a teenager, the hardest was trying to get the rap lyrics to, like, mm-hmm. like Bone Thugs and Harmony or something. Because I'll listen to The Crossroads and it's still, the words make little to no sense because it's just this combination of, like, sounds that are coming out of my mouth that sound like they said, but I still don't know what the real words are. So I remember, like, looking those up online and it's like, that still doesn't sound like what the real lyrics are. But but sometimes you find the other ones where it's like Lady Elaine, but Lady Elaine or Richard Marx, Angel Leader, not Angelina. Angel Leader. I still hear Angel Leader.
It's never been Angel.
Where are you running to now? Now that I killed you down by the river in Hazard. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, I've always been someone who has wanted a ghost story. I believe in them, but have never seen anything. I went to Gettysburg College, the most haunted campus in America, but I unfortunately never saw a ghost. I think the ghost knew I wanted to see them and thought, don't appear to her. She is way too into us. But the more I think about it, the more I think I do have a ghost story. But in my ghost story, I am the ghost.
Ooh.
I was born in West Virginia, and before I was born, my parents lived alone in a tiny house away from everyone and everything. One hot summer night, they had a guest over who was sleeping in another room. My mom was tossing and turning from being hot, and in one flip of her back, saw a woman floating over her. She swears she could see through this woman. The woman was inspecting her. My mom freaks out. She had had some spooky things happen to her. One reason I really believe all of this is because my dad is all shook up when he tells this story. And my dad is Mr. No Bullshit, doesn't believe in a god or anything, former Catholic school kid. My mom made my dad turn on the lights and watch TV all night. But before long, they heard their guest screaming from the other room, "Get away from me!" My dad went in to check on her, and she started hitting him. He tried to wake her up, but she calmed down. My parents say she couldn't remember that at all. Weird, right? Well, that's not all. I heard the story for years. 21 years, to be exact. I'd heard my mom tell it at sleepovers, campfires, to anyone who would listen multiple times. It never changed until one day when I was 21. I was at dinner with my mom and her friend Ginger. My mom pulled out the story again, and I groaned, "Oh, Mom, not the story again." Ginger gobbled it up. "What did the woman look like?" Ginger asked, which is weird because it was then I realized nobody had asked my mom this before, not even me, all these years of hearing the story. My mom stopped and stared at me, blank face. "It was you," she said. "The ghost was me." For the longest time, my mom had been picturing this ghost as a woman, a slight woman, white hair, pulled behind her head in a high bun. And now, I was 21, I had grown into the woman. Should also mention, this was summertime. I was born in March, the year later, so it was probably when I was conceived. I think I was looking at my mom that night. I visited the guest staying at my house and decided she was not my mom. I chose my mom. I find her, tell her this is all the time to remind her how much I love her and that she can never escape me. Thanks for reading my story.
It's weird. How do you explain the children that are fully grown and then come almost like through a time slip back to see their parents? You know,
I don't know.
We've had other stories where children, grown children, have been seen by their parents long before they're even born.
Mm-hmm.
And it freaks the parents out, honestly, because it's like they don't know who this person is. But then they make the connection all those years later.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is it just like kind of one of those things where just destiny or fate knows what you're going to be or who you're going to be? And it's out there in the ether somewhere and then you get it. Project. I don't know. It's just,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Those are the ones that confuse me the most. The time slip ones, yeah. Like that.
It's almost easier to kind of get the ones where it's like, and they saw the child, and they had a child a year mm-hmm. later, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I recognize it a lot sooner than someone turning 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't know.
And it kind of goes into other questions, too, of like, okay, when you die, are you the age you died at? Because we have stories where they see grandpa and it looks like him in his pictures when he was in his 20s and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you get to pick.
Yeah.
Or if you get to pick, if something decides that for you.
It's like the spaceship Earth at the when you're coming, ending it at Epcot. You press your way home, and you get one chance to choose the button wisely, mm-hmm. and you better hit the right one. Otherwise, you can't redo it. You got to go on the ride again, and you want to make sure you're pressing the right buttons you want to choose.
You don't have to go on the ride again.
Well, if you want to, once you press the button on how to get home on Spaceship Earth, that's your choice. You can't like cancel it and go back. If you want to try a different choice, you got to ride the ride again.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
You are talking about Spaceship Earth.
The big ball, the golf ball. Yeah.
You get in the cart, you ride through the thing, yeah. and you get off. They don't keep you going on it until you make the right choice.
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying?
I'm saying make the right. There is no right choice. It's you make your choice of how you want the ride to end, or how you want your video to end on that ride.
That's the important word you left out. What? The video.
Well, yeah, that's where you press the buttons.
Okay, because you were making it sound like you have to hit the right button to get home. Otherwise, you have to ride it again.
No, you have to ride it again if you want to choose a different option.
Okay, that's totally different than what you said. You made it sound like they're not going to let you off of Spaceship Earth at Disney World.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Until you choose the correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, well, now it's clear. Sorry, I wasn't clear enough on that. In my mind, I knew what I was saying.
Okay.
I'd love to ride Spaceship Earth just over and over and never get off it all day.
I know. My favorite is when they stop it and it's like, ooh, did it break? Or does somebody have to get on that's in a wheelchair and that's why they stopped it? Or what is it?
I'm always hoping it's going to be like one of those, it's broken, everyone, and all the lights come on. And then you get to like walk out of the ride and see everything with the lights on.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Of course, you know, when you... Last time it was stopped when we were on it, I just turned the light on my phone and like started looking around to see what kind of stuff had fallen out. Mm-hmm. I think they go and clean that stuff up every so often.
There's I was reading something at the very top of Spaceship Earth where you're on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be much more in depth than what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But all the effects that they tried to make didn't work out right. So they just made it really dark. and there's people who've gone in there with like mag lights and stuff and taken pictures. And there's areas where you can still see like some of the what the intended effects were. There was supposed to be like an area where there's like a spaceship and like a person like up in a pod up in the ceiling. And I think they've covered that now. But a couple years, it was still a bit like visible if you had a flashlight. All sorts of interesting little weird things that you don't know were there.
Yeah.
So right now, I'd be the creepiest. I would love to see some rogue Disney person going around Disney taking video of places because it's all closed. You know,
yeah.
It's weird enough. Like when you get they're open and people sneak behind the scenes. I love those. Where like there's some areas where they go back and it's like the waiting areas for things from like 1988 and nothing's changed, but you can't get to it anymore. Then they get banned from the park for life. But it's just funny to see these time capsules that are still there.
I feel bad feeling bad for a multi-billion dollar company, but I love Disney. So it's kind of, it's sad to me that it's closed, you know?
Yeah.
But I think what's saddest to me are the little kids that they've been told for months they're going to get to go.
Well, that's the worst. It's because Disney's not like a, oh, we're going to go next week, you know, surprise. It's a, we're planning this for years or, you know, a good portion of time.
Yeah.
And then they're waiting and waiting and waiting and nope. I mean, that would be horrible as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember like looking forward to that trip when I went as a kid for like a year, literally, or longer. And then for that just to all be up in the air. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's what I'm saddest about is that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just like, wow. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, where do I begin? I'm from Indiana, and I just started listening to your podcast about a month after searching through podcasts to listen to while I'm at work. I guess I've always been sensitive to the paranormal. I've experienced things my entire life. I'll just tell you about the main experiences, though. First off, my mom passed when I was 5 years old in the house we grew up in. And from then on in the house, we could always hear walking upstairs when nobody would be up there. One time when I was around 12 to 13 years old, I was upstairs hanging out in my room. And through my peripheral vision, I saw my mom just standing in the doorway to my room. Also, we would all leave the house. We'd always make sure to turn out all the lights in the house, but you could always count on the lights upstairs being on like when we got home. Like I said, throughout my life, I've always experienced small things, but around 2013 is when things were the most active around me. Not sure if it was from being newly divorced and starting over or what, but one time after I got home from work around 3:30 in the afternoon and I'm just chilling in my apartment, I go to just kick back on my couch and watch some videos on my cell phone. And I got to put my arm behind my head to get more comfortable. And when I put my arm behind my head, I hit the forearm of a person that's standing at the end of the couch behind me. I sat up quick, looked around, and of course nobody is there. I wasn't scared or feel fear of any kind. I immediately felt it was my dad who passed in 2002 because a few weeks earlier when I was lying down dozing off on the couch, someone rubbed their thumbs across my left eyebrow, waking me up instantly. Again, I wasn't scared or have the feeling of fear or anything dark. Another couple of experiences I've had was one time when I went to stay the weekend at my sister's. When I was sleeping, I turned over, waking up a bit, and I see a shadow figure standing across the room I was sleeping in. I could see through him, but I could notice details about him as far as clothes, hair, and facial hair. Fast forward a couple of weeks, and I get off work, get home around 3:30 p.m., kick back to watch videos on my phone again. And as I'm watching videos, I notice something out of the corner of my eye and turn my head to look. The same shadow person kneels next to me beside the couch, and when I turn my head to look, so did it. And we're face to face to each other. Then he vanished. I just sat up quickly and sat there thinking about what I had just saw. Again, this was in the early afternoon, not nighttime. I could see all the details about him as far as him having a crew-cut hairstyle, a goatee, wearing shorts, and a t-shirt. I hope I wasn't too boring, but I love your podcast. I just wanted to share a few of my experiences. Take care.
Am I understanding this right? All these experiences happened on the same couch.
I'd have to go back and reference that.
It kind of sounded that way to me. It's like, I'm thinking maybe that couch needs, you know, it's got something to do with the couch.
It'd be interesting. It's like the bunk bed, but it's the couch.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm picturing like a couch with like the wood trim on it up the side, and then it kind of goes up the back and it kind of curls around in like some ornate features, and then it's almost like an autumn pattern on the
or plaid.
I'm thinking more like some of the kind of off-white, almost it looks like yellowing white, and then it would have like the browns and the orange and the yellowish, you know, pukey colors.
And see,
all in like ornate flowery patterns.
I'm thinking of the couch I had as a kid.
Yeah.
That my parents got in the 70s, and it was like straight out of All in the Family. It was all plaid with the high back and the wood trim and everything, but it was all fall colors, you know, and itchy, not comfortable couch.
Yeah.
It's like whatever material that was, you know, if it caught fire, it'd go up like that.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Wasn't there like a material like in the late 90s that they were like, we have to stop making clothing out of this?
Yeah.
I think it was like on Dateline or something, because women's skirts were made out of it, and it was like this real ruffly type material.
That wrinkle, you remember with the wrinkly,
yeah,
like stretch, like the stuff would almost ball up into nothing, and then you stretch it and it'd fit everybody.
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Yeah, I had a couple of those shirts, and then they were like, no, you're basically wearing, you know, fire starter, so you know.
And then they took like a lighter to it and just completely up in flames. It was like when they were freaking out about silly string. It was around that same time where it's like, and if children light a match in front of silly string, and that silly string, I don't know if it still does, but it's aerosol, it would go up in flames too. And it was
flaming around, silly string.
There was like this, there was this fear in the late 90s of shit catching on fire. I blame Backdraft, but it was, but it was like all of a sudden it's like, what can possibly catch on fire? And they were just looking at like everything that was extremely flammable. And it's like, okay, yeah, this clothing can catch on fire. Maybe not a great idea to wear it. Yes, silly string. But it's like anything in your house can really is these cardboard boxes I'm surrounded by are extremely flammable. I mean, everything is flammable. I mean, it can't have, there's so many. It's like, okay, it was a scare time.
Have you ever seen Backdraft?
You asked me that the other day.
Yeah, have you ever seen
it? I don't know if I have or not. I don't remember. Okay. It would be a new movie to me if it I saw be. It. I might have seen it, but it's one of those that I don't remember seeing.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it good? It was a popular movie.
It was very popular back when it came out. I don't remember. I mean, compared to movies now, I don't know that it's that good. But yeah, I mean, Kurt Russell's in it, so it can't be that bad. I love Kurt Russell.
Backdraft. Yeah. Did it like win a lot of awards or something?
I don't know. I think it was Ron Howard's first time directing.
Okay.
And it was like, oh my God.
Like Opie can make a movie.
Yes, exactly. Opie can make a movie is what I was about to say.
That was the original title of it. Opie makes a movie about fire. Opie makes a movie about fire. And then they're like, yeah, that doesn't ring. Backdraft. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
And it just worked out better. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey guys, last time I wrote in about my son, it was a scary one. So this time I thought I would do one of those sweet ones. My Nana just passed away suddenly without any warning. I'd always put on a brave face for my kids and my husband, but deep down I was depressed and was really hurting. When everyone would go to bed, I would take the time to either get things done that I missed out on the day or sit back and try to make sense of everything that was happening. My Nan was my world, and without her, everything felt strange and everything hurt. How is it that the world keeps turning when part of your heart is gone? So one night, everyone was in bed and I was up cleaning after dinner, feeling down and just missing my Nan. I was in the middle of loading the dishwasher when I heard footsteps coming down the hallway. Me being me, my heart started racing, thinking, great, we moved into another haunted house. I was standing there watching the door to the hallway intently when my son walked out. So I said hello and asked what he was doing. He looked at me and looked behind him and said, are you okay, Mom? Of course, I didn't want to answer truthfully and told him I was fine. He looked behind again and said, no, are you okay, Mom? Nan Bailey said you're not okay and I need to come see you. My jaw dropped. This boy was 3, nearly 4. How did he just know? So I asked him what Nan said. He looked up at me and stared into my eyes and said, she said you're not okay, that I need to see you and tell you that she's okay. That's all I could hear because Sammy was meowing really loudly. Sammy was my Nan's cat. He had died when my son was just born and he had never seen or heard about Sam. He looked behind again, turned and said, because I know that you would like to hear this. Sammy's okay too. He feels better and isn't in any pain anymore. He paused and smiled. He still likes kisses too. For the next week, my son would wake up and come and check on me in the middle of the night until one night he came out and said, Nan says you're a little happier now. You're still sad, though. She wants me to tell you again she's okay. She watches you every day and says, if you don't pick that lip up, it's going to start dragging on the floor. Something she used to say when I was younger. He turned back up the hallway and says, I told her, I'm going to bed now. Since then, I've come to terms with everything. It still hurts, but that's life. And then went into my son's room and found the number 666 scribed on... I'm kidding. I had to make it a...
Don't ruin a story like that.
I had to turn into dark somehow.
No.
But no.
You don't have to do that. That was a good one.
It was good.
Yeah. That was a really sweet one.
It's one of those where she gets very specific pieces of the message, not just, Nan. It's the pick your lip up line. Mm-hmm. It's things like that where it's like, there's no way in hell he would know that.
Or about the cat that died before he was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you get your pets back when you die?
I hope so. I'm going to have a whole herd of dogs. I've had a lot of dogs that I've loved and then lost.
To all the dogs I've loved before.
I'm going to throw something at you.
I know you're hopeful that maybe the neighborhood dog is a ghost.
No, it's not that I hope that the neighborhood dog is a ghost. I'm hoping that the people that are selling us their house realize that dog's going to be happiest at
with
that
you?
House. Well, I know this from experience. I know this from experience because when my parents moved from the farm to town, they took our 2 border collies. And our 2 border collies were then in a fenced backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And they just were not as happy. They were not out roaming, swimming in ponds, doing things that border collies do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm kind of like, if they were to leave it, I would definitely be open to taking care of it.
Should we try and write it in?
No, because I don't want them to think like, these people are weird.
They want my dog. Do people ever do people? I know I've heard of
people do that sometimes.
Really?
I want the dog.
I'm being sarcastic.
No, I mean, we've got family members that's happened to.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Your Aunt Chris.
Oh, yeah. somebody did want their dog with their house.
And sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the house sold.
I don't think I would be able to do that with my pet, even if somebody wanted it.
No, but I'm not going to ask these people for their dog, but...
She's just going to write weird notes and leave them around the property.
But if they say, hey, you know, I'm not real sure that this dog, you know, if they bring it up, I'm going to totally take that dog.
I think what you should do is at closing, go and tell them that the dog came to you in a dream.
No.
And spoke to you.
At closing, I'm going to ask, is the border collie yours or the neighbor's? Because it came over and it was all, you know, very friendly. And it was just like my dog when I was a kid. And just see. And they're like, oh, no, that's our dog. And I'd be like, fuck.
And then you're going to find out where they live and show up in the middle of the night and suddenly their dog's missing.
No, I'm not going to steal anybody's dog.
I'm waiting for the response of what border collie? The border collie died 7 years ago.
Okay. And if that happens, then we know it was a sign that it was my border collie.
That would be awesome.
I saw her yesterday when we drove by.
Yeah.
That dog was in the yard. Did you see it?
I didn't, but I didn't. I was driving. So I'm not saying it wasn't there. I was paying attention to the gravel road I was driving on.
Well, it was weird because she like saw her truck and like she like came out halfway in the yard. Oh. So yeah.
I didn't catch that.
I'm not seeing phantom dogs.
I'm not saying you're seeing phantom dogs. I wasn't even trying to insinuate that, but it is kind of funny. That's a new one.
What? Shit I shouldn't have to say?
Hashtag shit Jenny says, I'm not seeing phantom dogs.
No, it's hashtag shit Jenny shouldn't have to say. And that's every day, all day.
I'm not seeing phantom dogs. It's a cute... Well, you... We didn't take a picture of it, did we?
No, we didn't take a picture. That's like taking a picture of somebody's child.
That's kind of... Well, it's a pet. It's a little different. I took a picture of Harper with a horse.
Yes, you did. And I think that was harmless, but it's not like I'm going to take a picture of this dog.
And you take the picture and the dog doesn't show up in the picture. That would be the weird part. Let's go to caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi. I just wanted to say I like your show. I like how you give the opportunity for people to tell their experiences. This experience happened in England. It was shortly after my sister had passed away. We moved to England because that's where my mother was from. And on the night before I was coming back to America, I happened to... be, you know, out because I was out, you know, saying goodbye to the friends that I had made in England. And when I was walking home that night, England is really creepy at night when it's real foggy. You can't see a foot in front of you and your footsteps echo on the cobblestone streets. It's pretty creepy. So as I'm walking, I'm getting this like eerie feeling like someone's following me, but maybe it's, you know, the echo of my own self walking. So I quick get to my house and get in the house, and in the hallway there was like, it's a long foyer that kind of bells out into the kitchen. And the night before my sister had passed away, she was breathing like really deep. She was having trouble breathing. So as I looked down the hall, and mind you, it was pitch black, I could hear that breathing. And at the corner of the wall, where the kitchen would become wider, I could see what looked like a foot, as if someone was standing around the corner, but their foot wasn't completely hidden by the wall. And it was glowing, iridescent. So I quick ran up the stairs into my room and shut the door, and that was that. So the following night, once again, I was out, walking home, getting an eerie feeling. Quick, get to my house, get in there, walk inside the hallway. It's dark again. Once again, I hear just like how my sister sounded. And I see that glowing at the end of the hall again. So I book up the stairs and take a glance back behind me at the bottom of the stairs. And there's a figure at the bottom of the stairs in the shape of a woman, only with no features, but you could tell it was a clear shape, with no feet or anything on the ground at this point, which was kind of odd that it was, maybe it had feet, but it wasn't touching the floor. But it was glowing. So I ran into the bathroom, slammed the door behind me, and I'm leaning against the door, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what is this door going to do to save me from a ghost? So I move away from the door and stayed in there for a couple of minutes and slowly opened the door, and there was nothing there anymore, and I went to bed. But needless to say, it was a very scary experience. But I came back to America the next day and have not seen it since. Thank you for letting me tell my story. Have a great night. Bye.
I think she wins the award for some of the creepiest listener-created sound effects.
Yeah.
For our program.
Yeah, that breathing was pretty creepy. do you think it was just a death visit, like after the fact, like as saying goodbye, because it just happened like the next day?
I think it could be, and it comes across creepier than was intended.
Yeah, just because, I mean, that's the sound that she could make at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think if that's the sound you're making and that's how you're breathing, that's how you're going to come across, and you may not, you're not trying to scare anybody, but when you're not there and you're dead and you're making the noise, it's kind of creepy. I think that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
So, it was that would be my opinion. It was a death visit and just kind of letting you know that she's over there.
Mm-hmm.
You looked at me during the call. Were you thinking that that she was making those sounds on the phone, or were you thinking we were getting something else on the phone?
No, I figured she was making those sounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
You looked concerned for a moment.
No, I had another thought, but it's gone now.
Okay.
That happens.
If it comes back, let me know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, and EPP, get all the bonus content. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories to support the program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.